Hello, this is Jay Nemro. You're listening to The Life Autistic. This is episode number 671. It's a beautiful day in New Mexico. We've had some rains, and it's looking good. The sky is totally blue, though, today, at least where I am, which is somewhere between Logan and Mosquero, New Mexico. I'm going on some adventures. I'm going on some new trails, headed toward Rosebud, but my mom tells me there's a town, or at least a place out here that you get used to in New Mexico to ghost towns. There used to be a lot of little towns out here that came with the railroads. There used to be lots of railroads going everywhere in our part of New Mexico, and now they have mostly disappeared. And the towns that fed them also disappeared. And so that means that, you know, we have a whole lot of place names that are associated with now nothing. I mean, there used to be schools there. My mom went to grade school at a school that was in a town that now doesn't exist. Neither the school nor the town exist. When I was going to grade school, there was still a store where the town used to be called Claude, and there used to be Claude's store. That was where our bus, where our little itty-bitty feeder bus met up with the much larger bus to take us on into Clovis. And there was actually still a store there in the mid to late 70s, and now there's not. Now there's nothing. The store was torn down probably 20 years ago, and even the place, somebody had bought that piece of land and set up, put a house there. And the funny thing was, my wife and I nearly bought it at one point way back when. And now there's nothing there. I think the state actually purchased that piece of property, and or took it by eminent domain and gave it to somebody else, you know, sold it off at auction. I don't know. Anyway, a bunch of towns, or not towns, a bunch of places like that. But my mom tells me there's actually a town up here, a town that actually still exists. And so I'm going on a little adventure to go find it on my way to Clayton to go get some work done at beautiful, magnificent, fantastic Clayton, New Mexico. Okay, this is something of a Zenith episode, only because it's going to talk a little bit more about autism and how interesting that is. Let me tell you some of the background to this. I was on YouTube, and every once in a while I get on there. The autistic community, for lack of a better word, and the deaf community have reasonably strong presences there. Seems to be something that these people are good at. Apparently, you know, it's a good way to express yourself. Deaf people, you can tell right off that people are deaf. You know, if you were to have an email conversation with a deaf person, you'd never know. You know, because it's all in text. And you know, deaf people, their disability typically does not extend to not being able to type. It's all about their hearing. Autistic people, sometimes the same way. There's some people who have problems talking, but they can type on a keyboard okay, and they can express themselves that way. But on YouTube, so much the better. especially for Asperger's types. You can state yourself, all right, you know, we can talk, but, you know, it also brings out your quirks and stuff like that, and it's much more easy, you know. I suppose in the whole culture around being Asperger's, it helps if you can see and experience these people to say, oh yes, yeah, you're one of us, you know. That doesn't come through very easily through writing. It doesn't come through very easily through what other kinds of things. You know, honestly, I don't know if it really comes through very well on audio recordings like this podcast. I don't know if it really comes through very well. Maybe it does. You know, I'm probably the last one to be able to give you some criteria. It seems like normal people just go, oh yeah, he's a dead ringer for being autistic. It's horrible. And it's like, oh, well, okay, whatever. You know, it doesn't... I couldn't tell myself. You know, this is Jay. This is the way I am. And so I was looking at autistic people with Asperger's that have done some videos. There's been some documentaries and stuff like that. One that's really good from this guy, I think he's from Ireland or something, and really neat thing, very, very well done documentary piece. So I was looking at some of the little things, and some of the things were really kind of interesting and cool. I think there was some, oh, what do you say, stereotypical things, you know. I've gotten down to just avoiding the videos that are put up by parents of autistic people, because it has nothing really to do with autism. It more has to do with how do you cope with somebody who has autism, you know. And that's what ends up being all the support groups, you know. If you say the autism support group, it almost never is for people who have autism. It's for parents or siblings or people that are around it and just go, oh, I can't stand this anymore. I need a support group to help me. It's never about the autistic people. Or, well, I can't say never. It rarely is. You know, me personally, I'm one of the kind of not anti. My mom calls it asocial. One of the asocial types, and you know, I don't need groups of people, so I don't go and search out for groups. I would like to have I would like to know that other people have an experience similar to mine, and I found a few, and that's wonderful. You know, I'm not going to say we need to start a Zenith Club or something. Frankly, just not very long ago, I was thinking about doing a Zenith reservation, and the first thing it would have to be is very, very big, a large piece of land, like several thousand at least, maybe several million acres. So I'm looking to get rich so that we can do this, you know, and because if it's going to be people like me, you're going to have to spread them out a bit and far enough away from each other that it doesn't have to hurt each, you know, don't have to have a lot of contact. Probably when people say, oh, you know, we need to have a support group, and you go, well, that's one thing you don't do with autistic people, because they don't need a support group. We're very happy in our own little worlds, and we don't, you know, and we only share worlds to try to just kind of let people in on what we're up to. We don't want you to join our world, because you'll probably screw it up. So, don't come. Go away. Yeah, bye. You know. maybe we just want it so that people will think okay of us and will leave us to our devices, because it seems like, at least for me, you have to kind of get a little validation for what you're doing. And I think I've been so trained to listen to so hardly to external forces that I really don't, you're always looking for acceptance from the larger culture, you know, and that's kind of bred into you as people constantly said, well, the most important thing is what everybody else thinks. What you think is purposeless. And it's only been with my philosophical stuff, you know, that I've gotten some validation and feeling pretty good, so that way I don't have to, you know, I just need a little, thank goodness, where there's a lot of people that need quite a bit. And, so if I were to have this kind of a reservation, I would do that. Anyway, okay, so let me get back to my first, about three tangents ago. Talking about getting on YouTube, I stumbled on a thing where there was a family who had six autistic kids. Interesting, they're Mormons. You guys know I'm Mormon, so that was an interesting little twist, too. I watched the video. It was from, like, ABC, some ABC News magazine show. I don't know. I haven't had TV in 12 years. I couldn't tell you for a minute who was doing it and in what context. But I was watching this show, and it was about this couple who had had six kids, and all of them have now been diagnosed with various things attached with autism. You know, the oldest one... the oldest three are Asperger's, the next two are more classical autistic and nonverbal sorts, and the last one is PDD NOS, which, that's neither here nor there. That usually comes from people that just aren't willing to give a diagnosis. And that's fine. I understand that. My mom and I had a big conversation about this last night. Probably a bigger one than Lisa and I had about it. Just by saying, you know, I'm not big on the diagnoses anyway. And certainly not the kind of guy who says, well, you're not this because you haven't been diagnosed by a psychiatrist or a psychologist. It's like, oh, shut up. You know, you're not proper. We're not going to accept you because you're, you know, so that's one of the reasons why I came up with Zenith, was just to kind of thumb my nose at those people that say, hey, unless you've gotten somebody to pay however many thousands of dollars or hundreds of dollars it takes to have yourself properly evaluated, well, you just can't join our exclusive little club. And it's like, you know, screw you. I'll start my own dang exclusive little club. Well, actually, I won't. Mine's really kind of inclusive. And the only reason why you want to be a part of that autistic club is because, you know, there's possibility of SSI and stuff like that from it, and yada, yada, yada. And, it's all very pretty and nice, and who cares? You know? All I need is the validation, mostly, that I haven't gone totally insane yet. And that ends up just being me saying, hey, you know what? I'm not insane. This stuff's real. And I don't really care what anybody else thinks about any of this. This is just about me feeling good about myself. And if I can help other people also feel good about themselves and not feel like they're some kind of weird mutant, more for me. Anyway, so I watched this video. Is that enough? Another tangent? Okay. I ended up just getting kind of irked about it. You know, just from the standpoint of, you know what, if I could take, I could, they, after I went to their website, which was advertised on this little ABC News thing, of course, it was talking about, oh, it's so horrible. If you want to give money to these wonderful people, you know, these incredible, that wasn't what she said. She said astonishing parents. And it's like, excuse me? What's astonishing about them? The funny thing was that as soon as you kind of got, when I went out looking for the website, just went to Google and started looking, you know what I came up with first before I found the website? Was all these new studies, and maybe it was from this guy, saying that older men may have more autistic spectrum kids. That it may be a function of the age of dad. Now, I think that's a light scratching of it. I don't think there's anything in particular there. But anyway, you know, I look at it as, no, you still have this natural autistic sort of thing brewing here, this whole thing going. And the fact that there are some disabilities associated with being Venus, those may come out more stridently as you... as your father, you know, gets older, you might have more disability. Just like when mothers get older, the chances for having a disability go up. Of course, by and large, people, you know, when people are having children, it's by and large couples, you know. Now, even though it's more prevalent, I think, to say that, you know, older men tend to marry younger women, and it doesn't usually go the other way. We have far fewer, I think, examples of that. Well, we got a whole thing here. We got all kinds of housing. We got all kinds of trailers set up here. These guys are working on... this is an area with a lot of helium. So I think there's a lot of helium production that goes on out here. Oh man, they got a bus service. Oh my gosh. This is quite a little community they have going now. You know, making this thing a lot bigger. VOC gases. That's mostly for helium and stuff like that. Anyway, so I take a look and see how our... Ooh, yeah. Excellent cell phone coverage. I just noticed that. And then I got to the website and I found out that this guy is actually quite old. He's scratching 60. And his oldest son is 14. And you're going, holy moly, this guy took his sweet time. You know, getting around to kids. I've got older children than he does, but yet I'm quite a bit younger. I'm only 41. And I had our first kid when I was, what, 23-ish? Anyway, so... I had thought about... So I had read their site, and apparently... you know, it almost sounded like some kind of a weird contest. They had been watching TV, and they had watched a show that kind of does a complete makeover of your house. It must be on Home and Garden TV or Discover or something like that. Anyway, so And it had been for a really needy family who had five autistic kids in their family. And all of a sudden, these guys came out. And, oh, boy, here you go. You have six in the family. You know, so some kind of weird, sick, twisted, you know, how much suffering are you going through sort of a contest. And I don't know. I don't know these people's circumstances. I don't want to know. I really don't. You know, it's not interesting enough to me, but from my standpoint, I also have six kids, and I think all of my kids are on the spectrum somewhere. You know, I'm not impressed. I'm not asking, begging for anything. I'm not asking for handouts. I'm not asking for people's sympathy or pity. And it seems like these other people do a lot, you know. You don't get on one of those shows unless, number one, you know, it isn't just because they find you and all of a sudden they start circling the wagons around you. It ends up being, no, I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to start looking at this. I'm going to start soliciting attention. You know, boy, I've got the biggest family with the most autistic people in it. Boy, all six of them are autistic. Woohoo! You know, aren't I suffering? Isn't it terrible? And, you know. Anyway, so I went to their website, and I don't remember the name of the family, and I'm not going to bring it up because I don't want to offend them particularly. You know, and I don't want to say, well, I've been down this road further than they have, and I have a better perspective. Who knows? Who knows what the right perspective is on any of this? You know, they seem to need a lot of help, and they're going out, and they're getting it, you know. It's sad to say what they feel like they have to do to get the help. I think it's, it borders on being a little, I don't know, disingenuous. I don't know. Anyway, and I'm not saying that my kids are more autistic and therefore harder, and because they're not. When I look at it, I say, boy, I don't have these troubles, or at least I don't look at them that way anymore. And so I was washing through all the interesting emotions that were coming to mind, where I was saying basically to tell these people to get a freaking grip, you know, basically to grow up, even though they're quite a bit older than I am. You know, it's like, oh, come on. And you know, I was thinking about it and talked to a few people about it. And I don't want to be rude. I don't want to be rude to these people and say, oh, you're not allowed to feel the way that you feel. It's like, no, they can feel the way they want. I don't know if I've gone past it, if I've become numb to it, or if this is just the result of an autistic man, Asperger's man, Zenith, whatever, having a bunch of children like him, and how I take it, because my reaction to things is often a lot different from my wife. And my wife, I think, is much closer to normal than I am. I can almost guarantee you that. Anyway, so, is this my turn-off? I really don't want to miss my turn-off to go this different way. I've been the route I'm taking now, I've been once before, but I'm going to take a side road to go to this other place. And so we're just going to see how it goes. There's a lot of development going on out here because of all these gases and stuff like that. I guess the gases are getting much more, is this the way I go? No, that's the page. Interesting. Well, where is this headed? Now, see, I'm back on pavement, and I had gone dirt last time. Interesting. This is 102, and I guess I'm going to I don't know how to say it. Anyway, I'm going to take this road and we're going to see how it goes. this family started their own foundation, I guess it's so they can accept money and things like that. It seems like their experience, I think they spent a lot longer. Well, no, I can't say that. I think they've spent more time in denial of what was happening than perhaps we did. My situation's a lot different because the autism thing came up when my second child was just not quite three. So, and that son is now 16. So I've been affected. God, sounds bad. Autism has been a part of our family life for 13 years, where it looks like from these guys that the actual diagnosis of autism maybe only happened maybe even 4 or 5 years ago. So they've only been dealing with it for 4 or 5 years. And it takes some time. You see with their website, they say, well, we're a resource for people who want to know more about autism. And it's like, you and 500,000 other websites that want to be a resource for anybody who wants to know. Ooh, this is some cool stuff. We're going into some mountainish territory. Beautiful. I love these places. I love these places. Anyway, so how do you say it? You know, like I said, I don't want to act like I'm further along and that I have a deeper understanding or anything. You know, everybody has their own journey, I suppose, through anything. So let's not make it specific to any particular group. But you have your own journey, and you finally decide what you need, what you're going to be, how you're going to feel about this. It's like when you come across autistic adults, you don't tend to hear about their parents and how their parents feel about it and things like that. You hear gobs and gobs and gobs from people who have just gotten their kid diagnosed that have only been dealing with it for a couple of years, just starting to get some information, and it's all sharing. Oh, well, people need to know, understand about this. And the curists, and mostly composed of people who have known about a diagnosis of autism or been touched by it for 5 years or less. You know, there's probably some people that have had more exposure to it, but I think that those are people that tend to profit more from it. You know, psychologists, specialists who are doing studies on it, or people who got involved with some kind of paying gig with autism, and all of a sudden, you know, it's like, oh boy, you know, this is how we, you know, this is how I make my money, so yeah, I'm going to stay involved with it. You know, people can tend to do that. And that's just from a certain point of view. You know, I'm not saying that I've got it right or that other people are bad or anything like that. It's just what I've noticed over time. Right now, I am a member of the American, the Autism Society of America. I don't know why. For probably the past 5 years, I've been saying, no, what's the point? I don't want to give these people any more of my money. But then Lisa said, well, you know, Matt's paying for it out of his SSI money, so whatever. Go ahead. When I get the literature from them, I just normally just kind of throw it aside. You know, I'll read it, get disgusted, and throw it aside. Because they've obviously got a take. And it is the 1 to 5 year, you know, you're just learning about autism sort of take on it. You know, and they're heavily associated with education and with legislative stuff, trying to get more services for people with autism. And as you grow older, you start saying, you know what, I don't really, you know, I think the biggest thing is, well, let me not get into that. I'll do that in the next podcast. But it's really interesting. So there, this family is still in that thing. Now this isn't a thing that applies to each child. If you have six kids and, you know, you aren't going to be involved in the whole autism garbage. I know it sounds bad to call it garbage, but that's what it ends up feeling like to me. You don't stay involved with it for 20 years. You know, after a while, you've gone past what those kinds of organizations, support groups, stuff like that you really need to get into. And in almost all these cases, and it's true, the people who suffer most under the disability are not the disabled people particularly. I mean, and thank goodness too. Now, I want to say that as a general rule, you know, you have to keep these people safe, you have to keep your eye on them if they have a tendency to hurt themselves. But that has more to do with parents and caregivers, right? And that's what most of these little organizations and all these things are about. They have nothing to do with the actual people who have this disorder. It's all about the people around them. And maybe that's why I got sooner to the point to where I was dealing with the fact that we had autism quicker than maybe my wife was because, you know, it's because as an Aspie, probably, it was like, okay, well, that's fine. So in fact, it feels like these guys are having the same kind of experience that I have in some ways. I'm not going to say exclusively, for Pete's sake. Matt and I have a lot of differences. I think I can use my mind to a higher capacity than he can. Anyway, so, just had a jumbled up mix of feelings about this stuff. I'm much more drawn to websites and audio recordings and audio visuals, movies from like YouTube. Much more drawn to ones that focus on the person with the disability rather than the whole situation around that person. You know, and I guess that moves you to a different level. You know, because I'm kind of in both camps a little. I am the father of someone who is classically diagnosed, everything done, autistic. So people could say, oh, you're a father of autism. Oh, aren't you such a wonderful soul for what you've put up with, you know, for what you've endured. You must be such a wonderful, awesome parent. And you go, well, you know, it kind of bothers me that people look at it that way. You know, I think it's kind of sick in a lot of ways to look at it that way. Because having that kind of attitude isn't really helpful after about the first year and a half. Because guess what? You know, they may pin the award on you next year, but they're going to pin the award on somebody else a year later. You know, you aren't going to win it again unless you go out and you do amazing things to help other parents. And frankly, when you've got demanding children and a demanding life, you don't have time. You're worried more about what you need to do. It has nothing to do with the rest of these people. You know, at some point you needed some help and you kind of got in with one of those groups at that time. But then after that, it's like, no, I don't want to talk about it anymore. I'm in the thick of it. You know, I know a couple that's in their 70s now. Their son with Down syndrome is, he's in his 30s now, young 30s. And they're not part of anything. You know, they're not part of any Downs groups. They're not part of any of that stuff. Because really, honestly, it doesn't mean anything. It really doesn't. So there's that. Oh, this is a neat place. You know, I think I have been here. I think I've passed by here. That is a neat church. And this is Buero, I think. All the signs are from the other way. Let's take a look and see what it says. Yeah, Buero. Speed limit 35 and never told me to slow down. Oops, sorry. My mom said there was some place to eat here, and I didn't see it. I did see the church, and I saw a few little things. So, yeah, it's not much of a going concern. But maybe the place I'm headed for is further on. Clayton's still 60 miles away, and I'm going to be a half hour late. So I'm going to have to speed up a little bit. Okay, so, you know, I guess that's what I was thinking about this stuff. Now I can't remember what I was going to talk about in the next podcast. I hate it when I do that. When I get these ideas, I turn off one and start the next one, knowing what's in my head and that there's going to be a big thing coming up that I really don't want to try to stick on one podcast. I'll have to go back and try to listen and get it. Anyway, just knowing that after a few years, it's just something to be lived with. And you don't go out and search for commonality. And these are people that, even if you came over and you said, oh, my son had just got, just was diagnosed with Down syndrome. It's like, and you go talk to somebody who's had a Down syndrome kid for years and years and years, and they'll just shrug at you a lot. And for good reason. This is just the way their life is. You know, is their life sizably different from yours? Yes, it is. Are you going to get to where they are? Who knows? It's hard to say. And there's really no, and that's why I say, well, people say, oh, well, don't you have wonderful advice to give to other people in your circumstance? You go, there is nobody else in my circumstance. Just because we all have different circumstances, different things. I feel somewhat blessed. Because, frankly, my kids are reasonably easy to deal with. They get a little crazy because the twins, things just don't seem to occur to them very much. But, you know, just live day to day doing the things that you need to do. And you know, I guess... Well, I'm not going to get into that. That's something else that might wait for another one. Maybe y'all remember that. This is Jane Emerald. You're listening to The Life Autistic. This is episode number 671. Have a great day. Where's my pointer? Oh, God. Yes, have a great day. Bye.